This is The Hard Question on WCGO.
Folks still very divided about this quote-unquote permanent ceasefire in Syria. We've had a number of people on the program here on The Hard Question to discuss it, but I have a very good friend, a retired Lieutenant Colonel Sargis Sangari. He was in the U.S. Army. He spent extensive time in combat in the Middle East. And Sargis, this is, when we're talking about this, people are saying, well, some people are saying the Kurds are different Kurds in Syria than they are in other parts of the Middle East. Some people are saying that we're abandoning our friends. We should keep the military there. Some folks say the parcel of oil that we're defending is not bigger than the state of Delaware. So what's your thought about this? You know that area very well.
Blanquita, it's good to be here again. All these issues that we're talking about in the Middle East and in the region are seriously just things that have been there since going back to when the Sykes-Picot Agreement was struck. That area has never been functional and has never been stable because of that contract. Most of the countries you see within the region were carved up based on a contract between the French and the British. And right. They really did it over the resources. So today, as we are starting to try to develop that region for a functional peace, the superpowers at that time were British and the French. Today is the United States and Russia. And it is a matter of fact that we have to get to an agreement that can satisfy what we want to do in the long run for possibly the next 100 years within that region. Unfortunately, the structures are just not stable. That's why we're never able to really find partners that are enduring for us within that region.
Someone said to me last week, another military, retired military colonel said, let the Russians have at it. They have no real military power like they used to. They're going to fail. Americans think that Russia is stronger than it is. Agree with him on that?
Russia will have to manage that region. Look, let's take a look at the biggest partner Russia has in the region, and it's Iran. But take a look at Iran itself. Iran, which is within the region and has extensive influence, has had uprising within its borders, has uprisings now with Lebanon against it. In Iraq itself, people rose up, and there have been demonstrations for the past 2 months against the Iranian influence within Iraq itself, where Hashishabi was used, which is an Iranian-aligned militia, to kill hundreds of Iraqi. The formula that Iran uses within the region doesn't work. At the end of the day, what does that mean? That means for the past 40 years, Iran has put money that are sunk costs within the region. If right. That's the reality for Iran, and Iran is a Muslim nation in the region, but that is driving everything that is happening within the region, imagine what would happen if you're Russia.
Oh, yeah. And this guy said to me, and Russia has a different code than we do. We don't like to kill people. They'll go and eliminate them. They have a different system than we do. So in other words, to me, that says more chaos ensues. And potentially, if we had to go back in there, we could go back in there forever and still never affect much change.
We wouldn't affect change until we find enduring partners. The whole model has to change. We were asked from the National Security Council to be able to provide a possible proposal of how you deal with the issues within the region. And the only thing that we concentrated on, we said you have to give at least the minorities a voice. If you do not give them a voice, you will not be able to get the region to a point where you can start sharing the benefits of the oil and the resources that exist with everyone. The problem is trying to create those systems within the constitutional structures of the nations is very difficult because Sharia law and the hadiths are the drivers behind how they deal with each other within that region.
And us coming in with our law is a lot different in how we actually engage. I see it as probably maybe the best scenario that we're out for the while. Let me ask you this. I'm going to change the topic a little bit because we're kind of short on time. And we want to spend more time with you on this. Have you decided to run for Congress?
Yes, we're actually having enough signatures to file in November. And part of the reason I made that decision was because I realized that when you're not at the table, you really don't have a voice. And I don't like the fact that in Washington, both sides of the aisle are using the hatchet to bury in each other's heads rather than burying in the enemy's heads. We have to stop this madness. We just got a new story that was released by ABC where a young Ranger, after his 14th deployment, he ended up getting killed in Iraq in these endless wars, I should say, overseas. And it's sad that this is the reality of these young men sacrificing themselves while Washington just cannot get a comprehensive plan as to how to move this country into the future in the 21st century.
And it's important, Sargis, as you've been there, and you don't look at the men and women who serve as collateral damage. I think that's very important for anybody to know that, in a way, that the member of Congress has their back and understands what they've gone through. Quick question. I understand you were at an event where Vice President Pence was attending. What happened?
Well, it was the USMCA, and the push is to try to put pressure on Congress to finally pass it. Unfortunately, on the same day he was there, Biden came on and made comments that it might not be the best thing for us. If you put that USMCA on the table and have Congress vote on it, majority of the Democrats will vote it through because it's a good deal. Actually, the one of the sticking points was where on the Democratic side, there was a push to increase the wages for the Mexican workers in this deal. But it is what it is. So be it. Our neighbors can also benefit from it a little bit more than maybe the current structure allows them to do. But
well, actually, Sargis, I'll be surprised if anything passes right now. I have to think that everything's being frozen because there is this drive to either impeach or not impeach, people trying to be able to have, they're afraid to take a position. If you do some event right now in Washington, D.C., that is called bipartisan, depending upon what side of the aisle they think that you are on, they won't attend or they won't return your phone calls. It has become just shameful.
Well, that's a problem. Biden knows it's a good deal, but because he's running in an election right now, he tries to muddy the waters because he wants to set the stage to make sure that the current POTUS doesn't have a victory on this piece. We need to concentrate on the United States. We got to get victories for our country. It doesn't matter who takes the credit. The reality is these little soundbites, even when we're talking about overseas, as far as what is happening when it's Syria or with Iran, you know, from a soldier's perspective, is a life and death situation. You look at everything in the aegis. But from a diplomatic perspective, from a statesman's perspective, you have that long-term vision. And I don't think anybody has that long-term vision right now in Washington, except maybe possibly the POTUS.
Do you have a site right now where people can take a look at your platform and all about the area that you're running for Congress in Illinois? Can they go to any particular site?
They could go to Wolf and Gary. We're improving the site as I speaking to you, but the platform is very simple. Continue improving on the current economic progress that we have seen under the current POTUS and ensure that we really address some of those security issues that I had to fight downrange against so we make sure that they do not end up coming through our southern borders here.
Is the seat an open seat, or who are you running against?
No, I am. We're running against a incumbent who's been here for 20 years. It is very good. It's going to be very difficult. This is one of the problems we run into in Washington. You have people who are just entrenched through gerrymandering of the district.
Well, we're going to continue following up with you and the race, and we always thank you for joining us. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Sargis Zangari, and he's going to be running for Congress. We're going to give you more information about that as time ensues. But thank you for joining us. And thank you all for listening to The Hard Question.